tip.
Good afternoon. It is March 4th, 2024. You're listening to a little column A, a little column B, hosted by Will Limonos and co-hosted by Zach Bishop. How are you doing today, buddy?
What's going on, Will? We had a leap year. It happens every 4 years. It always surprises you. It's an extra day in February. There were dozens of pumps in New Zealand that would not dispense gas because they thought February 29th, that doesn't exist. That's not real. So you went in New Zealand to go get gas into your car. You were not able to get gas. Did you have any issues with the bonus day in February?
No, but I feel like I lost half my winter. What happened with that mess? It's 60 degrees outside. There's no snow, and my ski season just came to a halt. So I guess in the extra day of it all, it would be like, oh, wow, another day of like February. Good skiing. Not this year, so whatever. I could give or take this awful season. Everyone says they love the seasons around here. Which one do you actually like? This is a terrible winter. Or is this a good winter? I don't understand. Like, how did anyone enjoy this at all? Is really my whole problem with everything here. But leap years, whatever. I think the birthday, every so often someone's got the birthday on there. That's kind of interesting. That's a little quirky where you're like five years old.
The big one was Halliburton.
Is he? Yeah, is that who it is?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a leap year birthday, so there's a lot of jokes about him being 4 years old, and the team just did a bunch of mascot silly things. That was the main one that I saw. That was fun.
Yeah, I could really that's it. There really shouldn't be much else of interest about this. It's an extra day. You don't get the day off. It's not a holiday.
Do you think it should be a holiday?
Well, I don't know. It's an opportunity to make more money.
For who?
Everybody. You want the day off? No hours. You're just slashing hours away here?
I'm just wondering, you know? Salary, I get paid by the year, and there's this extra day in here.
Whoa, all right, yeah. Well, you're already doing better off than everyone else here. You're on salary? What are we talking about?
That's what I was just doing.
You're on salary.
I'm fine with my situation.
You're on salary. Pick your own days off. You don't need to pick it for the rest of us. Right, this is a weird one. I want this one. Save it for March. We have the tournament coming up here.
That was, I think, my biggest gripe, was that it was one day longer to have to wait for March. But it's here. It's here now.
Are we going to continue to talk about nonsense, or should we actually get to the NBA? Because we actually have good news.
Oh, I would love to talk about the NBA. Did you happen to watch the team from Boston play yesterday?
Well, I suppose I watched them. I didn't watch the second half. There was nothing to watch. This game was over immediately. My response to you at halftime was, I think I could rewatch that first half over again. Like, that was...
It was amazing.
It was perfect. It was like a coach watching film on this would just be a joy. Like, this could have been a textbook example of everything you do right. And it's more intriguing the team that we did it against. I think that has a lot to do with it. It says a lot about where they are, I think, more than where we are at this point. But I wish we played in more close games because I think it's the one weakness this team has. But on the other hand, there's nothing wrong with just whooping some ass and just delivering and coming through and being consistent from start to finish, and not even just the starters. I mean, even the bench kind of got going. I mean, the shot making was incredible. Do you want to talk about the successes, or should we jump onto the woes that you just kept sending me all day of the Golden State locker room trying to cope with the biggest loss in like franchise history? And
you're overselling that part of it. I want to talk about the good stuff. I got some stats for you. This is a top 10 point differential team. I think after yesterday, I think it actually might have jumped up to top 5. We have double the point differential of the next team, which is now the Bucks, which are 8.5 games behind us. Seems like Doc might have got some stuff figured out over there because they've won 5 games in a row. Can you imagine winning 5 games in a row and then looking up and finding you're still 8.5 games behind the team in front of you? This was the third time this year that the Celtics have beat a team by 50 points. That is an NBA record. Set the record yesterday for the largest halftime lead in Celtics history. This was Steph Curry's largest loss of his career. And these are just off the top of my head. I mean, this was just yesterday. We're on an 11-game win streak. We have just absolutely been cruising. You know, you mentioned, a close game here or there just for some late game. Hey, can we execute? But on the flip side, we've had similar struggles to the late game execution of we go up by 20 points and then, you know, in early on, say that, you know, second half or maybe, and then coming out at halftime, we just fall asleep. And then before you know it, we are in a dogfight. So I think
I'm giving you
part of this is good that our mentality is, hey, rather than just go up by 20, like, just keep pushing it. Keep pushing it. End this game early. Everybody could go home. The Garden was doing the wave. Garden never does the wave. And I am normally very anti-wave. But in that situation, the game had been over for over an hour. Yeah, you know what? You guys paid good money. You guys were great fans. Got the team going. And we largest halftime lead in franchise history. Oof, what a day.
Is this the newfound rest of the winning franchise? I think we just discovered the new future. You just want to blow out the other team by 44 and you get to rest everybody in the second half. It's a half game. It's a half day of work. This is you taking every Friday off. I just solved the labor system. Like, this is amazing. Nobody needs to take a night off anymore. You just got to be up by 44, do a half day, you clock in, clock out. It's easy. This is great. It was so bad that the other team benched their team. Like, that's like, I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew I'd be hesitant to them, like, kind of attempting a comeback, but I didn't think that they were going to just wave the towel at half. Like, Curry and Draymond don't even play the second half. Just nothing.
Nothing.
We did all of this. Did you even mention that we didn't even have Porzingis?
I didn't even mention that. I didn't even think I needed to.
Arguably, I think our most important player. I think he's the one player that changes. It just changes the dominance, I think, to another degree. Yesterday, I think, was a quite good example of just being really good shooting, getting good shots, and making all of the shots. It's what Golden State did to everybody for a bunch of years and can still do on a nightly basis, but maybe not as regularly as they once could count on them. And this was fun to have in Boston. Really, really just fun to wrap everything up here, especially like after, you know, getting owned in the finals. And I don't know, it just felt a little validating, and it really shouldn't. It just matters this one win. And it's only one loss for them as well.
I told you this should be worth two wins.
Well, my immediate argument was it should be worth two losses then, right? Like, I don't think it should be rewarding us more.
I was being silly, but it just like you said, they didn't even come out with their starter. Well, I guess for some weird reason they had Chris Paul playing. You're saying he needs to get in shape, but I don't know. It seems like Chris Paul at his age, just any opportunity to rest him, you do that after all the just wear injuries he's had. But it just then like the next thing is, should there be mercy rules? You were talking about the rest. If you get to a certain level, and very clearly, and we did this earlier this year, so this is this is definitely a little tongue-in-cheek, but like a little bit serious, with all the teams wanting to rest and more metrics based, if you know, we go into halftime and we were up 40 plus points and Kerr just says, hey, you know what, we're just done. Should they be able to just say, like, we concede, everybody gets to rest on both teams, a half day of work?
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, move on?
You just have to shake every fan's hand on the way out and say, I'm sorry, we're done. Like, this is it. You paid for something that we can't deliver on. Like, that's not a problem at all. Like, I think that's somewhat of an issue. I think we're having a hard time getting people to attend these games in most of these franchises. And there's definitely ones that sell out and the atmosphere is completely different, but I think you're going to have a hard time selling tickets if you're not promising full games. And a lot of the times, these are the big games. Like, this is a game. This was a high ticket item. This is Curry in Boston. This is a big deal. This is the Warriors dynasty coming into town, and you want to shut them off at halftime.
A prime afternoon game. But Curry didn't play the second half, and neither did our stars for pretty much the entire second half.
I still think you got to see some of them. You still got to see Chris Paul. I mean, that would have been cool almost every year other than this year. That would have been something. Be like, hey, I want to really go see Chris Paul. And even this year.
What would it beat down? Now do you want to talk about all the Warriors' excuses?
Oh, I was just going to skip to the actual best team in the NBA and go to Denver. But sure, we could go down the laundry list.
You can't say that.
Laundry
list. You can't
say that. Yeah, I am
Denver
saying
the Nuggets aren't even the best team in the West.
I think they're by far the best team in the league, and you're all naive denying
it.
Not
right now.
Nope.
They could be in the playoffs in the future, but right now they have 42 wins, and the Celtics have 48 wins.
Nope. You're not going to convince me. Look,
you got to play the games. You got to play the games. You got to play the regular season games.
They had a game just the other day against LeBron and the Lakers. He does the 40,000. Michael Porter Jr. goes 10 for 10. He doesn't even miss. That's exactly what just happened to us. Like, that's...
Oh, I'm not saying that the Nuggets are bad or they're not, you know, at the top, but... You know, they're on a six-game winning streak. They're hot as well right now. But I don't think you can just write it off and just say, oh, well, you know, they're going to be good in the future. And that makes them right now the best team.
I think it's undeniable.
No, I want to talk about the Warriors' excuses before we move on.
All right, where do you want to start? Because I just want to remind everyone, this is a team that got blown out by 44 at halftime and chose not to play the second half, and then yet still had to all do interviews after, of which you ran away with every quote. Who's giving a good interview after this game? This is the worst setup in the world. They're going to be unhappy. Like, there's nothing that they're going to say that's going to make sense.
They didn't even seem that unhappy. And, you know, they're all professionals. Draymond Green is a professional talker. You know, he's a podcaster. I saw him. He was at the All-Star game. He's paid to professionally talk, so he gets it. And, no, the reason that happened is because, according to Draymond, 15 minutes before the game started, they got their heads together, all the smartest guys in the room, and said, you know what we're going to do? We are going to just not guard Jaylen Brown. We're going to sag off him like it's early Marcus Smart, or it's like the Tony Allen decision from, you know, back in the day. And Jaylen Brown, you could see, said, huh, this is weird. This is not how this normally works. And proceeded to score 19 points before he got taken out in the first quarter. I thought that was a huge part of why the Celtics were successful. And then afterwards, yeah, the Giants said, oh, yeah, we can't with that. And, oh, I guess it didn't work. And Kerr said something similar. But it just seemed like they have some cachet from the team they used to be. But this just seems so silly. If this had been any other team, we would be absolutely slamming them. And now it seems like it's just me doing it. But I feel like someone's got to say it.
It is just you doing it because it's still the best strategy. What else would you do against this team? Pick the weak link.
I don't have the answer. I'm not a professional coach, but to just sag off of an All-Star. The All-Star game was not that long ago. It's easy to go look and go, which guys?
You don't get to criticize their strategy without suggesting a better one, all right? It's like, this is a bad idea. All right, well, then what's a better one? You got nothing. This is the best one.
Play normal defense where you don't drop into the paint when you're guarding a guy that can shoot three-pointers very ably.
And you think that would have shifted this game how much? They would have lost by 20 instead of 44?
I have no idea what would have happened, but it just seems like it was blatant disrespect, and I want it noted for the record.
They tried
to disrespect it. If Jaylen had lost his mind, or if he had missed a bunch of shots, then this would have been like front page news, and everybody would have been talking about it. Oh, the Warriors got in Jaylen Brown's head again. La-di-da-di-da. No, it flipped on him, and you know what? They thought they were bullies, and they got bullied yesterday. They got bullied real bad, right out of Boston.
You have no idea right now. You're off on Celtics Haven. You're on Celtics Island. You've forgotten how the rest of the world functions in this sport. It's not insulting. How is it not a compliment of being like, this offense just has so many threats that this is what we had to pick, and we lost by 44. And at the end of the day, they said, hey, this didn't work. This wasn't worth it. This was a bad idea.
All right, you think?
So, yes, I do think they lost by 44. There's nothing I'm going to listen to them at the end of the game that I'm going to take away from it. This is so silly.
If I had told you before the game, hey, this is the strategy, it wouldn't. I don't think your response would have been, okay, let's try it. Like, all right.
I would have tried it. I would have tried this because out of everyone there, he's the only one who's willing to take the most shots because he's got that big-ass contract and he feels like he's got to fill the shoes of it. And he could get selfish at times. He can get way too caught up in his own. It's almost like a Carl Anthony Towns trap where it's like, yeah, go for 60, and the rest of your team's going to lose. And I think that's what they were trying to do. I think they were trying to bait him into doing that. He didn't fall for the traps, which I give him a ton of credit for. But I don't think it's like these guys need to try some wild things. And what if it did work? Like, who knows? And we would have found that out for ourselves, and it would have told us a lot more about what Jaylen Brown is, and perhaps now I can feel a little bit more confident that they can't get into his head because they have gotten it in the past. And let's be encouraged by all this rather than just bashing the team that got their ass kicked already. They already lost. We don't need to bash them anymore. There's no defending us. We won by a whole bunch. We're 8.5 up in the East. You're fending people off who aren't even going to make the playoffs. Like, it's fine.
Pivot it back to positive. Right before the podcast, news came out that Jaylen Brown was Eastern Conference Player of the Week, and Tatum was February for the month Eastern Player of the Month.
Well, who do you think will be the guy next month? And maybe the Warriors could try not guarding him, and maybe that'll go differently. You know, we need more. We don't have enough science behind all of this, is what I'm saying. You know, maybe letting the best player, the second best player, try and score and leaving him wide open is not a flawed system. But we haven't tried it. I mean, nobody ever left Scotty open. You know, who knows?
I'm trying to think. Who are we playing next? I wrote it down. Oh, we don't have the Nuggets till Thursday, but we have somebody in between. But if we go and play the Nuggets and Mazzulla comes out and says, yeah, we're just not going to guard Michael Porter Jr., I'm going to be furious. And not like, oh, well, no, this was just something we thought we'd try. Like, we decided just right beforehand. It's like, no, you have to guard everyone. That's kind of the whole point. You're getting paid to play offense and defense.
I still think Denver's the best team. I've seen what they did last year, what they're kind of doing to teams. You have no control over what Denver's going to do. They get a great shot every single time. It would certainly be questionable to say, let's let Michael Porter Jr. just have a whole bunch of wide open shots. I mean, he did go 10 for 10 the other day, and I think they were trying to guard him. I like what Jokic does, and I don't have a solution for how to stop them. I've still seen the Celtics struggle in certain points this year, whether it was getting our ass kicked by the Clippers or Milwaukee or end of the game sort of stuff. I don't have nearly the same woes about Denver. I don't worry about any of that kind of stuff. I still feel really good about it. I don't worry about their durability. I still think Porzingis is way more of a question mark than most of the players on Denver. They're missing Bruce Brown. There's certain guys like that that they didn't have during the championship run that they don't have now that they did have during the championship run. But I still really like this Denver team. I still think that until somebody knocks them off, which it could be us, I think we have the best shot. I'm not saying like the Celtics aren't even good or don't even consider us for all this. I'm not willing to give up the crown off Denver yet. I still think that they got it. And I thought they showed it the other night. The LeBron game was awesome. The comeback against that. Let LeBron have his little highlights of his big points today and still lose, knowing you know damn well they were trying to win that game, right? Like that, there's no denying that. They showed up for it.
Wait, have the Lakers been trying to win all year?
That's going to be the best joke. I wish I had the laugh track. I'd play it for you. It would have killed. This is one of those things where like stand-up only kills in a stand-up act. Like this would have been, that would have ever crushed. Yeah, for sure. You know, just loud laughter.
Why do the Lakers keep scheduling their big events? And I guess this one isn't exactly scheduled, but it seems to always come against the Nuggets. And what was this, the seventh loss in a row to the Nuggets? And once again, LeBron, you know, beats the record before this one, sets the, you know, hits 40K in a loss. I think that should be noted.
Do you think anyone will ever reach 40K again?
Yes.
Any suggestions of who? Because I don't think it'll happen.
I think it'll happen just because I think if you cut it off here, it means you think that basketball will never get better. And I think that basketball will continue to get better. And sooner or later, somebody will come along and score more points. I couldn't name anybody currently, but I think there's going to be somebody down the line that'll be able to do it.
I don't think anyone will do it. For one, I think the future of rest is going to be more focused on. I think everybody, it's almost a lock you're going to have at least one season of injuries. Now, LeBron's certainly been dinged up here or there, but he never had the, I'm out for an entire year and another half a year just trying to recover, and that's kind of like you kill 2 years out of that. Never happened. Not to mention the playoff runs, the consistencies of minutes that he's playing, the finals runs. Like, there's just an amount of games in a career that's going to be really hard to get to in the time frame that he got to it. So I also think the longevity isn't something that everyone's going to chase anymore. I think some of these LeBron records.
I didn't say it's going to be easy. It's going to be right around the corner. I just think that at some point in the future that I'm going to leave the door open. I'm not going to shut the door.
I don't think there's anyone actively in the NBA that has any shot at it, to be honest. Like, everyone keeps mentioning Luka. I'm like, well, how many playoff games has Luka played in? Like, you know, LeBron was averaging finals games every year. Like, that's a complete difference.
It's a lot of extra games.
It's so much. And, you know, sure, I don't think anyone's really defining LeBron as a scorer ever. I don't think he's that type of player at all. He's just doing this because it's one of the many assets he's so good at. But it's the amount of games he played in. It's the strength that he showed up, the consistency he showed up in every single game that kind of got him here. I don't think it's like a born shooter or, you know, natural scorer. I don't think it's any of that. It's the longevity of being in a ton of games. And I just don't think anyone else is ever going to have the body type to do this. Not all, if it comes out like, you know, LeBron's some big steroid user at some point down the road, that might open some doors.
Oh, do you have news? Do you have breaking news?
No, but I do know after every one of these records, he's definitely tested. And every time he dunks, he's definitely tested. Every time he has one of those chase down blocks, he's definitely tested. That's my news. Like, I know he's still getting tested. It's just ridiculous.
No, don't worry about it. It's only Tristan Thompson that's doing steroids. They were never on the same team together or anything, right? They don't know each other.
I don't like your association right now. This isn't
You're
good.
The one that said it. I didn't say anything.
I'm
very interested that you are insinuating that LeBron might have done steroids.
I think a lot of other players are going to retire way sooner than LeBron too. Like Jokic,
they already have.
Yeah, no, they're it's not even.
You mean younger? I was thinking like who's left from his draft class?
No, they're all retired. I meant more of like a Jordan. Like I'm walking away. Like, I won mine, and I'm done. I don't need to play for whatever many years. I came here to win a couple championships. I did. I played a career, and now I'm moving on to something else. I think there's way more of those guys in the future than there are LeBrons, who's just going to be this sort of Tom Brady-esque of playing until he can't play anymore, and it's just an absurd age that we've never seen. It seems like something that he's paving the way for that everyone can just follow on. I don't think everyone wants to follow this road. This is a long, grueling road, and it's not going to end well, too. It doesn't matter. Like, there's no happy ending to any of this. Like, this is just keeps going.
It's long. I don't know about grueling. He's NBA superstar. He lives in Los Angeles. It's nice every day.
I think it's pretty.
Is it a challenge? For sure. Everybody's job is a challenge. But to say it's grueling, I think, might be a little bit of a stretch.
Look, it's the Bill Belichick of like, well, everyone got a month and a half start on my offseason. Like, I'm already behind. That's absolutely LeBron.
Because he's been scoring points. Yeah, like I said, it's not saying it's difficult. Just grueling makes it, you know, I think that's a step too far.
All right. Well, grueling is what's going down on the Knicks right now. New York, Jalen Brunson out, OG Anunoby out, Randall out. Those are the only guys I'm off the top right now. There's definitely more injuries. And not really a suggestive timetable for any of them that's encouraging. I told you I was scared of this team more than just about anyone in the East at this point, just because, like, I don't want to lose to them. Them in Miami, it would really suck, and especially the way they would make us look for them to win. It would just not be in a position I want to be in. But at some point,
it wouldn't be on skill. It would be on toughness, and it would be, are the Celtics tough enough? Can the Celtics execute? It would be the same story again.
It wouldn't be fun for the Celtics. But what's not going to be fun at all is if the Knicks don't ever actually get to put this roster out, and they're going to live off this whole what-if situation, and that's going to make questionable future decisions of like, well, you know, what if everyone was healthy? You know, who knows what we could have done this year? And it's like, I'm not sure what they should be doing. Everyone just has to get back on the floor, but if they don't ever actually get back on the floor, I part of me is going to think some of these deals weren't smart. Like, they gave up. I think they gave up too much. Like, they don't have the depth they once had, and it's crazy because I think they added more pieces. I don't like where they're at. This is a grief. This is grueling. This is going to suck because I think they have a really good shot this year and it's not going well. And you have no control over any of this.
I mean, it was really I hope not, but it seemed like the cherry on top of it yesterday when very early in the game, Jalen Brunson pulls up a non-contact injury, has to get helped off the floor. And he is just, he's been a superstar for them all year. And it started last year, and this year, I think they were really getting behind the fact that he could be the number one. He could be the guy that leads us on a playoff run, something that hasn't happened in a long time. And the team was fun getting behind it. And it sounds like it was just a left knee contusion. So not great, but the way he went off, it sure seemed like, did he just tear his ACL? Is he done until the All-Star break in next year? Is this not just this season's over, but next year is pretty much toast as well? So I'm hoping he can come back. I'm hoping that they get healthy in general. I have a lot of friends that are Knicks fans, and just for it to happen this way, it just, this is the worst way for it to happen.
No fun for everyone. And the worst part is I feel like Miami's going to end up getting matched up with this team. And then that's going to suck for them, and that's going to end up sucking for us because it's going to just advance Miami on another round. And I hate it. I hate all of it. It sucks. I mean, just make everyone healthy. I hope everyone gets back. All right, anything else for NBA? You got some upcoming games?
Yes.
Or we can run away to college. It's up to you.
Yes. Yep. Some games coming up this week. Tomorrow, we have the Pacers at the Mavs. Both teams, they're, I think, below where they would have liked to be. Both are the 8 seeds right now, so we'll be playing in the play-in game. But I think it's a good opportunity. Haliburton versus Luka. I think that's going to be fun. We're taking a look at. Thursday, big one. We just talked about them for most of the time. Celtics at Nuggets. Nuggets came to our place, beat us in a real close game. It was a lot of fun. Really two heavy hitters. Mentioned the Celtics are on an 11-game win streak. We have one game before that. The Nuggets are on a 6-game winning streak. So both teams very hot right now. Both healthy. I think Porzingis, it's just kind of day-to-day. So he could definitely play. It'd be really nice just to get a rematch with them at their place and see. You know, it's like a lot of people are talking possible NBA Finals matchup. So that would be fun. And then Sunday, afternoon basketball, always fun, especially with no more football, with the Bucks at the Clippers. Both teams, you know, not at the tippity top of their conferences, but both got stars. And, you know, just anytime you're watching an afternoon basketball, I think this is going to be a good chance. Bucks on a 5-game win streak. So, you know, maybe Doc's got something sort of figured out over there with, I think, I can't remember the exact numbers, but basically the pick and roll offense before Doc was on the lower side, and now with him, it's one of the top in the league. So there are definitely changes that he's making from a strategy point that you can, you know, it's not just anecdotal. You can actually look at the stats. So we'll just be interesting to see those two teams go head to head.
Well, he's finally holding himself accountable. It's he's gotten some real good feedback. It's an easy fix. But that's all it was.
Speaking of the Bucks, little trivia for you. Derek White has more blocks this year than Giannis does.
There are so many centers that, like, so what? Is he probably has more blocks than, what, Karl-Anthony Towns, too? He probably has more blocks than...
I don't know.
Than...
I just know those two, and I know that Giannis is, what, 6'11"? And Derek White is, what, 6'6"? 6'4"?
It's a big accomplishment. It's a great way to frame it that, you know, Derek White is a better player than Giannis.
No, I just said he has more blocks.
Yeah.
Possibly a better shot blocker. Yep. I don't know. I mean, it's been known for a while that he's the best guard shot blocker in the NBA. But it's interesting. I mean, it could flip, you know, anytime. But for right now, and we're kind of deep into the season. I think it would be pretty BS of me to bring up if it was, you know, Halloween, and or if Giannis got really hurt. But, you know, both guys have been playing pretty well all year.
Both guys play hard.
Yeah, what was it? In the very early on in the game, Derek White bumped into the back of Steph Curry, and that did not seem like fun. I thought they were going to have to give him stitches.
He's a very good player. All right, let's move on to college.
It's March.
Man, is it just your podcast all over here? The first thing I have written down, and it was right after Celtics dominated, is Duke dominates Virginia. I mean, this wasn't much of a game here.
I had a lot of fun.
What are we going to talk about here? Are we just going to talk about blowouts all day? Nobody wants to hear that. Take your 30 seconds. What do you got?
Well, one, I didn't put Duke on the rundown today. You put it on there.
Well, if I put the Celtics blowout, I felt like it. All right, fine. I'm taking it back. All right, no, we're moving on. Tennessee,
you gave me
Tennessee over Alabama.
I had a great battle.
The SEC. You know, I think that Tennessee's actually got a great game coming up here. I talked about the SEC isn't exactly the best conference, but I think it's the most competitive. So
it's definitely one of the higher. It's like the highest scoring. Like the Big 12 has scoring. The Big 10 as well, but especially the Big 10 is much more on old school kind of college mentality of, hey, we're going to score, you know, in the 50s, maybe into the 60s. But the SEC, they're all about, hey, we are exciting, and we're going to put up a lot of points. Dalton Connect. And I think there's going to be a lot of guys or a lot of people that are going to come into March Madness and see this guy for the first time, and they're going to be pretty surprised.
What was the most impressive offense you saw? Was it Kentucky?
Maybe. I don't know. I think I liked what Tennessee did more, because just Alabama is a tougher opponent, but Kentucky scored a whole bunch on Alabama. I think that Kentucky part is just more frustrating, and it's probably just because I watch more Kentucky games than the other SEC schools. Is they just I can see what their best lineup is, and Cal just won't play it. And then it'll take like 3 or 4 games, and then he will, and then he'll take like some sort of victory lap. And it's like, dude, we all saw this like 3 games ago. You're still bringing Reed Sheppard off the bench, and he's easily your best player. It's talking similar to Derek White. He's a guy that gets his hands in the passing lanes and gets way more blocks than you'd expect for a guard.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm going to push back a little bit that it's not, it's going to sound stupid, but it's like not every player can come off the bench. Like some of these guys, I think you bring off the bench, they're useless. You bring in Sheppard off the bench, look at how helpful he is. Now, I agree, he could probably still help more if he was starting, but you might lose some of the other guys, and we've had so many inconsistent guys the whole time with certain lineups that I see what you mean. I see, like, all right, it's working. I see it in here, but there are so many moments where I think it's just such a okay. Whatever, every big man they have has a defensive weakness, whether it's shot blocking, helping, or pick and roll. Every one of them is good at one of those things and bad at the other two, and there's just no way around it. It's a rotation of inconsistency with big guys that are just not getting defensive stops. And I keep blaming big guys, but you know, at some point the guard play giving up 102 points. You guys scored, but like maybe play a little bit of defense, like you know, get in someone else's way, get some more steals. I don't know, something. It's easy for me just to blame all the big men getting beat off the help, but.
It's so frustrating too, because you said like, hey, just play a little bit of defense, and I think that kind of came up a couple of weeks ago. And when they played Auburn, they only scored 70, but they held Auburn to 59 at their place. So I mean, that's one game; it's just a blip. But it just seems like it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Of okay, we're gonna score 100 points, but we're not gonna play defense at all. Or you know, it's like, can't you just you balance it out a little bit? I think you have the athletes. It just seems like they're making it more difficult than it needs to be.
I don't actually blame Cal for any of the weird rotations. I think everyone has been so inconsistent this year that he has to play the guessing game of like, all right, is this a good day or a bad day with you? All right, not sure, and maybe all right, yeah, sure. It's a really hard job as a coach where you don't know what you're going to get out of every single guy, and there's certainly an on paper, I think, status for every single one, but it's not being that way. Nothing's been on paper about the rotation this year. And you could maybe say they should have corrected a lot of it, but you know, maybe the guy should be matching up to how they are on paper more than he needs to. You know, they all play better, then his rotations look better. But I think it's easy to blame some of the weird lineups they've had when they just haven't had really good play with everyone. It hasn't been consistent. It also seems like guys take turns on the team. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. And it's like, oh, well, that's great. They have two of these. But it's like, well, the sometimes for that guy was last game. The sometimes for this guy is this game. And it's never together. Occasionally it's together. They explode for 100 plus points. But
all right. We have one week left in the regular season. And we'll have conference tournaments. And in 2 weeks, we'll have brackets. So, you know, two weeks out, what is your expectations for Kentucky in the tournament?
The bracket section you sent me looked pretty brutal. I think you had, I think it was UConn, Michigan State, Kentucky, Baylor was the 2 seed. I think in that one, that looked brutal.
I don't even know if it went all the way down. It was definitely UConn at 1, and Michigan State was the 8 or 9. And then Kentucky was at the top half, so that would have had to have been 4 or 5, I think.
I think it was Kentucky at 4. I don't.
Oh, maybe Baylor was at 5 or vice versa.
I think Baylor was at 2.
I think I just sent you the top half of it. But
then maybe I saw another one.
Because I don't think Baylor's at a 2 right now.
Either way, maybe they were just in the bracket. Maybe they were 3 or something. I think I saw them in there, and I was like, all right, that's a scary team. That's a scary team. That's a scary team. I still think Kentucky should get out of the first round at least. That's not necessarily the expectations this team has, but I think it'll depend on who they end up running into. I think there's certain offenses that won't be able to score with them if things are going well. But I also think there's...
All right, here, I'll make it a little bit easier for you. I'm pulling up the CBS bracketology, so I'll give you exactly what their path would be, so you can do like a little more yes/no than trying to just kind of figure it out. So, and I just picked CBS at random. It would be Kentucky versus Samford, the 5-12 matchup, and then the winner would play the winner of Illinois UC Irvine. Would they make it to the Sweet 16?
They're better than Illinois. Well, I think they're better than Illinois.
Okay.
I
and then after that, to go to the Elite Eight, they'd have to beat Tennessee. And I'm fine with you just saying, if you just want to say unsure, because they will be playing at Tennessee on Saturday.
I think every team in the SEC can beat every team in the SEC. So, like, I don't think there's a above and an all favorite. I think Tennessee, Alabama certainly are good teams. I don't think they're, like, monumentally better than Kentucky. I'm not even sure they're monumentally better than, like, Florida or who else? Was it South Carolina? They won today. They won. They're ranked, yep, too, right? Yeah, those are some good teams. There's some good teams out there. I think they're all capable of beating each other, so I wouldn't be shocked either way. I don't know. Like, we were talking about how we've seen a lot of rematches in this because you're within conference, so you're going to play, like, certain teams more than another. I don't know if teams are getting better or if they're getting better at playing the team they've already seen before. And how that translates to maybe benefit Kentucky, I don't know. Because, you know, if you see Kentucky enough times, you're gonna learn some things. Versus, like, this whatever Samford team potentially coming in as a 12-5.
Samford.
It's a, you know, do they play anyone remotely close to Kentucky? Like, do they have the size? Do they have the scoring?
I doubt it.
Well, you know.
I doubt it, but did you know, did St. Peter's, you know, a couple years ago, you know, all of these teams, you know, on paper, if we're doing this on paper, you know, you just move them, you know, right to the front of the line. So
I'm not,
they have to play some defense.
I'm not worried about Kentucky. If that ends up being a kiss of death, I'm sorry, but I'm not worried about them going out early. I don't think that'll happen. 12-5 common upset. I would be happy to pick them at a 5 seed.
Samford, first game of the year, lost at Purdue by 50-plus points. So that's like the big team that they played.
Well, that's one of the games I got written down for this week. Tuesday, tomorrow, Purdue at Illinois.
I have that one as well. That one's going to be fun.
Should be. I every time I want to like Illinois a little bit more, I watch them struggle and then they kind of sneak out these wins.
Or they do something stupid.
I think Purdue's the same way. I still don't think Purdue's that great. I don't think Illinois is that great. I don't think this conference is that great, which really it says what I think about Michigan State. That is the 12-5 I would pick the upset of. If they're a 5, they're going to lose to a 12 seed. They're not going to be that high ranked, but I wouldn't like them playing a sneaky 12 is really what I'm saying. I'd be worried about all this, and I think we're going to get a pretty good game on Tuesday between Purdue and Illinois, whether these rank higher than the teams we've talked about otherwise, but I don't know. Who are you going to this one? I'm going to roll with Purdue on the road because I don't actually think Illinois is that great, but, you know, maybe Illinois is better than Purdue. Who knows?
I'm going to go with Illinois. Let's get spicy.
All right. I also have a couple Wednesday games. I got Tennessee at South Carolina. Number 4 ranked Tennessee, 17 South Carolina, 7 p.m. Wednesday. I'm going to go and say Tennessee's not going to have that great of a week here, and that this is just going to be a grueling finish. And what do you think?
You think they're going to lose both?
I'm not sure. I think this is a spicier SEC than to have them at 4 and then like kind of confidently say they're that, and then they're going to end the season the way it is without knowing. Like, we're going to know so much more by the end of the week.
And no respect for Dalton Connect.
All right, so we're going opposite on all of these then. All right, I'm taking South Carolina. You want Tennessee?
Yeah, give me Tennessee.
All right, last one. I got two, UConn number 2 at Marquette number 8, 8:30 Wednesday. You know, fuck, man, UConn's good. It sucks. I want to not.
Dude, they played around with Seton Hall, and I thought, all right, this is going. And then in the second half, it was, you know, finding out, you know, later on was kind of like the Celtics game where if you look down or walked away from your TV, you come back and go, what in the world just happened? This was like a kind of a competitive game, and then they won by 30.
They're good. I think Marquette will do their best to keep this tight in the first, but I think by the second, this isn't quite the game that they're going to hope it is. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, this is another one where it's like, based on everything I've seen so far, I think I like UConn a little bit more. I don't think Marquette's a bad team, but I haven't exactly seen enough to say I think Marquette's going to beat UConn. And maybe after this, I'll feel differently. And you know, all these games are big. These are deciding a whole lot of how I'm going to pick just next week or in a couple weeks for March Madness. So those are the three games I got that I missed. Any? What else you got?
I have two more. Tuesday night, Alabama at Florida. And then Saturday, UNC is coming to Cameron Indoor Stadium to play Duke.
Oh. Wow, that spicy ACC. You know, just can't ever count them out. Is it just you two, the UNC and Duke? Is there anyone else sneaking in?
There's going to be a couple. But it is not a banner year. Clemson's looking like a six seed. And then, I mean, Wake's on the bubble, especially when they beat Duke. But then after that, they've lost two in a row since then. So I think they were right in position, and all they had to do was kind of win the games that they were expected to win, and then they've kind of fallen right off.
That sounds like Michigan State. That's too bad. You want to pick whether or not you think UNC is going to go farther in the tournament, or whether or not you think they're going to win this? What is it, Saturday?
Saturday, prime time. Last game of the year.
All right, who's going to win Saturday?
Duke's going to win on Saturday.
Who's going to go farther in the tournament?
Duke's going to go farther in the tournament.
Really? Because, see, I think you're going to win Saturday, but I think I can safely say the other way. I feel a little bit better about them than Duke.
Wait, the ACC tournament or the big dance?
Big dance. Main dance. I don't care about the tournament.
I think Duke's going to go farther in both.
All right.
Although, I don't love Caleb Foster being injured. That's not helpful, but you know, the rest of the guys, I think they're figuring things out. And boy, did we just have Virginia's number.
That was not even a game. That was hard. That was a mercy rule one. Mercy rule in college seems to make a whole lot more sense to me. You know, a lot less of a expensive of a ticket. All right. Women's college basketball. Quickly, Caitlin Clark passes Pete Maravich. Pistol Pete. Moving on. Another logo on the floor.
Just want to note it. Caitlin Clark passed Pistol Pete, sets the record. Awesome. So she has the men or women's got the most points. Meanwhile, LeBron is tied for last for college scoring. So just point that out.
Aren't you tied with him?
Factual. Yep.
Oh, all right, cool. Just to get the facts straight, really button up this podcast here. This has been a mess.
Yep.
I'm on way too much cold medicine. Russell Wilson has been cut by the Denver Broncos, and yeah, that's not a typo, and you're probably wondering, like, oh, well, I'm sure he had some money on his contract left, right? Like, yeah, this is just a casual, what was it, $85 million that they're just eating away? Just, nope, we'll take it. You go wherever you want to do. We'll take care of that. I am a little confused on why they didn't just keep him if they're already going to take the money, if they're already going to like not deal with it. And I don't know if he's going to sign with another team, which means that maybe he isn't justified of being on a roster. Sure, whatever. But what's the problem with just having him on the team? Like he just can't play backup if someone gets hurt. I mean, we're choosing to pay in this price over just having him there.
Now, I think what you have to remember, I don't think this was last year, I think this was 2 years ago, when they went over to London, what was he doing on the plane? Was he sitting there, you know, playing on his phone? Was he reading? Was he doing something like that, Will? What was he doing?
All right, he was doing essentially aerobic stretching in the aisle of the plane.
Of a plane, in the air. I think this is exactly that news gate came out, and there's been some other quirky things about Russell Wilson that have come out, and I think there's probably even more quirky things that they all said. We got to get rid of this guy. This is weird. This is not good. I declared at the beginning of the year, this was the last year that Russell Wilson would be a NFL starter. That seems like it's more likely to be the case. But I think he's toast. I think we all knew it last year. I think that trade is going to look like one of the worst ones of all time. And nothing that happened today has improved that even in the slightest.
No chance for him signing anywhere then. I mean, if he signs anywhere, he doesn't get the money, right? He's got to sit out this whole year basically to take all of that money.
No. So I think this is where NFL and NBA are very different. I don't think this is like a coach where when a coach gets fired, he gets the money unless he signs somewhere else and he gets that money and the team gets it back. I think this has to do with the salary cap. And I think this is like a penalty on the team. Like, hey, you signed this guy. This is on the books. If you cut him, you just don't get this money back. So I think, I don't know, he might not even get this money, but the team is definitely penalized. And I think that's why it's like referred to like as dead, like dead money, because it's on the cap sheet. You can't move it. You can't do anything. You just have to eat it this year. And that is $85 million. You cannot pay somebody else to play a position.
And you still think you're better off just not even having him there. I just don't think that's an $85 million problem. Look, the injuries at the quarterback position are wild, unpredictable, and sure, he certainly wasn't the best thing out there, but I watched some of the backups play for way too many games this year, and I don't think he's far off of all that, and he's already under contract. Like, he's a great backup is really what I'm saying, for especially if you have to pay this price or not pay this price, just pay it. Whatever. It's concerning to me, but it definitely says a lot of how they feel about him. And it'll be curious and interesting to see if any of the other teams across the league have any interest in him at all. Like, would you want him? Do you think someone's going to sign him?
Based on the article on ESPN, it says the Vikings or the Steelers are interested in him.
Oh, man.
We had terrible quarterbacks last year, and I don't want Russell Wilson. That's not a step towards the future.
Last year it would have been. This year it won't be.
Does that have that much different?
No, but are we going to tell Mac Jones to take your contract and go home? I mean, if he's at $85 million right now, are you telling him we'll take the dead money?
I think we have to do something.
We're knocking this team. Like, yeah, old man Russell got knocked. It's like the same thing over here. The only difference is
but Mac's on a rookie deal.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is more than negligence here. There's a financial negligence.
They went out and traded five picks to get him.
It's
two
absurd.
Years ago.
It's absurd. It's
two
so
first
expensive.
Round picks.
It's so expensive. It's stupid how expensive that was. And then they get Sean Payton too, and it's like, whoa, here we go. Look, what's cooking in Denver? It's like, what more would you do? You just made a massive trade for a quarterback. You bring in the one coach every team wishes they had. You trade for him too. I hope it works out. I don't know what I'm hoping for, but you know.
Did you see the Jets told Zach Wilson that they're cool with him looking for a trade?
This is worse than online dating. These guys have contracts. It's flirting around like these little tweets like that. All right. Wendy's surge pricing. This came across like every one of my podcasts. Is this like a topic that people are interested in?
I thought it was interesting, and when I saw it, it just had this is podcast material written all over it, and it didn't even last 24 hours before Wendy's came out and had to issue a statement saying we're not doing surge pricing. Like the backlash was so fierce and so overwhelming, like that it was immediately canceled.
Well, I
grand
know,
opening, grand closing.
I think it was poorly executed in that it was surge pricing and not like surge discounting, which is what it could have been sold as. Like, hey, well, there'll be moments where maybe this will be a little bit less. And instead it was like, no, there's definitely going to be moments where it's going to be more because of how busy we are. And everyone's like, well, that sucks. You guys are going to be busy and I got to pay more. Like, that's the worst end. I got to wait longer and it's going to cost me more. Obviously, that's the what they wanted to have happen. But I don't think it was nearly pushed enough that there was a possibility of going during slower hours and paying less. Like, I didn't hear that argument pushed nearly enough. It was immediately like, I don't want to pay more at lunchtime.
It's too late now. They've come out and pretty much mentioned that, saying, oh, no, you know, this one's supposed to be like surge. Like, we're trying to really do that. It's really more we're trying to get people in during the slow period, but it's too late. Horses out of the stables. They're not getting that back in. Good luck.
There was one bar in San Diego that had, it was like a stock market pricing for beers. So the menu would adjust live. So like if I ordered one of the items, that would go up in price and another one would probably go down because nobody had ordered it after so many orders. So you could really like mix up your orders and you couldn't go there on a consistent day and get the same price for certain beers, but there would always be a deal up there if you wanted it. You know, you just pick the right one. You'd have to, it was a little bit more craft beers. So like maybe if you're not a big stout person or, you know, it's not something everyone's chugging at the bars regular, you'd kind of get stuck with that if you really wanted to do the discount bar. But I thought it worked out well. It never got really any ridiculous. I mean, at most you were getting, you know, maybe $3 off a $8 beer and maybe paying $2 more on a $8 beer to $10. Like it wasn't outrageous, but that's the only place I've ever seen where they were actually doing it. They never changed it, and it's always been like that.
I think this is going to be the future, but they need a better PR campaign than what they did. Just with a lot of places, specifically fast food, having apps where you have access to people all the time, and you have all of the data now for all of your locations, and you would be able to go and look and go, all right, well, you know, between 2 and 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, like there's a 60% reduction compared to other days during the week. And so you just throw out, hey, you know, buy one, get one free Frosties on these days. And, you know, once you get in, all right, well, I already came over for a Frosty. I'm going to get French fries too. And you're able to incentivize people to come, or even maybe it's not a buy one, get one free. Maybe it is they actually reduce the pricing or they do something with the pricing just to get your attention and get you to go there. Right, but I think that this could be more and more the future for all commodities.
What if they just did this and didn't tell everybody? And it was just like nobody ever noticed. They were just like, huh, man, McDonald's is really expensive today. I waited real long and it was like a little bit more.
See, you mentioned that, but the whole idea, and this is more on the Uber or the Lyft side of it. The whole idea with the surge pricing is that it's kind of one or the other. So you and I, and you know, to make it simple, it's just the two of us, but you know, there's a whole marketplace here, is I really want McDonald's and I'm willing to pay $20, and you are not willing to pay the $20. You're only willing to pay $10. It's so that I get my food faster because I'm willing to pay more.
Yeah, that's fine. The business made more money, right?
So the idea would be the line is getting longer. You increase the price. You have all of this data behind it, so you know exactly how much to alter it. So that way when you go to look and you say, oh, my McDonald's order is going to be $20, I'm not even going to get in line. And you and a bunch of other people go and look and say, eh. So it keeps the line at like the same amount. It's not that, or it shouldn't be, that you have to stand in a long line and pay a premium. The idea is it's kind of one or the other.
I would have rolled it out way quieter and then just let like the Reddit boards tell everyone like, all right, yeah, four to,
like, wait a minute,
four to
every
like,
time I go in there, it's a different price.
Yeah. Four to like 4:45 is like your best window. It's like, or just some like, they clean the Frosty machine at like 11 a.m. So you want to be there 11:30, like just some weird quirks of like, these are the hours you want to be there and this is why, rather than like, hey, there's this new wacky thing they're going to be doing. They might be charging you more. And it's like, who would do that? And it's like, I just
the Wall Street Bets X account was just firing off all sorts of jokes where it had the Wendy's logo and underneath where it would normally say, you know, Frosty's 2 for $1 or something. It had like a stock market ticker looking board. And he was just making comments about, you know, I went in and went long on Baconators and I short sold it later in the day. And yeah, I made $2.50 on 4 Baconators.
Yeah. You know, this is the, the gang saves the gas crisis right here. We just need to save up on a whole bunch of McDonald's and you could sell it in the parking lot right there.
They can sell it later,
You just go around the corner to whoever's in line. Like, look, man, I got a McNugget. I got this is great. This is the American dream.
I'm telling you, I think that it was the PR campaign that was the issue, but I think that this is going to become more and more front and center. And whether we know about it and it's right in your face, or like you said, it's on your app, so you see it and you kind of have an idea, like, I think this is more expensive today, but I'm not sure. And I really do. I think this is going to be the future.
It's not stupid. It just feels like we're already being taken advantage of in a similar way. It just seems like they were upfront of how they were going to take advantage of everything. Sometimes it's to your advantage, sometimes it's not. Is that not just how pretty much everything else plays out?
Pretty much.
All right, I'm hoping to not have any sort of illnesses or sicknesses next week. So let's wrap this one up. Is there anything you want to let the people know for this week? I mean, we got March Madness coming up. I have nothing on the bet consequence. Do you have any update?
No updates.
Anything at all?
No, we got March, one of the best times of the year. I'm very excited. A big Celtics West Coast trip. They're gonna really be tested. And yeah, like I said before, 1 week left of regular season, and next week we're gonna be talking conference tournaments, and it's just like a nice little appetizer before the big dance. But we're gonna have college basketball during the day. I put it right in the thing that March Madness technically starts today because the A-Sun has tournament games today. So there are going to be teams that season ends today, and winning, you're in, baby.
That's exciting. We made it to March. There's a bet consequence coming up. I don't know when. Winter kind of wrapped up on me here. I can't believe we're in this situation again. It seems like we were so on top of it last year. Like, there's no way that could go wrong 2 years in a row. And yet, it seems like we've really butchered the shirtless ski downhill, which out of all of the consequences we've done, I think it's been the easiest to organize beyond natural elements out of our control. I can't believe it, but there's a chance we might actually get this done again this year. After 2 years.
I think it's funnier every year that it doesn't happen.
What if this is just the ongoing joke that it's like, hey, we're going to try it again this year, and it just never happens? Maybe next year.
We'll see.
All right, we'll be back next week. Thank you, as always, for listening. You can follow us, Little of Column A, Little of Column B, on our YouTube channel, Facebook page, and on Zach's Twitter, which is
WickedZman24.
We'll be back. Little column A, little column B.